You're listening to the Tim Price Go Harvest Podcast, a podcast designed to offer practical insight and encouragement to local church ministry leaders. We're thrilled to have you join us during this second season of the podcast and invite you to help us continue to reach new people by hitting subscribe and the 5-star rating. Blessings on you in your ministry, and for now, let's turn it over to Tim Price.
Hey, in today's Go Harvest podcast, I'm excited to interview Mark Nichols, who is the director of Fuel Ministry, focusing on motocross camps and trackside ministry for racers and dirt bike people, quad riders. It's been a great week, and I wanted to share this podcast interview with you, an opportunity just to hear Mark's heart on the ministry he's doing and the unique way he's reaching this niche and lining up passions so that he is able to share Jesus. We'll jump in right now.
Well, hey, Mark, thanks for being on the Go Harvest podcast today. It's fun to do this podcast literally behind a projection screen near the gym.
It's a good studio, all right.
Camp New Hope in Neoga, Illinois, and we're here doing Fuel Camp and our Fuel Ministry Camp. It's actually a motocross camp, a unique niche, but you're Mark Nichols, and you live in Louisville, Kentucky, and you're kind of the director, ringleader of this whole thing, and thought we could just talk a little bit today. So tell us just the gist of this ministry. Tell us a little bit about what it is.
Yeah, one of the coolest things about this ministry started about 12 or 13 years ago with a guy named Mitch Barnes, and he had a passion for Jesus, but he also had a passion for racing his dirt bike. And I don't know whether he woke up one morning or what exactly happened, but he's like, what if I could combine my two passions to bring people to Jesus? And initially he connected with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and started a dirt bike camp. It was a concept that just wasn't being done. Nobody was doing it. And it all launched from there. And there's just FCAMotocross.org. They have 10 camps a year. And then Fuel, I worked on staff with FCA, and then Fuel split off in a nice way from there. And we focus a little more on trackside ministry, but also the summer camps. And that's how it all got started, with one guy's passion for Jesus and dirt bikes and putting the two together.
Yeah, I mean, it really is amazing. And this is the second time I've led music for one, leading music for chapel. Yeah. The first time was one of the FCA, one of the 10, yeah. 10 camps they do, and all got connected because of Lee Harrison, who is a... also seems like
great
one of the
guy.
Leaders around here. So that is really cool. And before we talk a little bit more about the ministry and just some of the ways it works, you've also done some other things in ministry leading up to being the Fuel Ministry Director. So what are those?
Yeah, just a quick snippet. I got out of high school. I was training to be a tool and die worker, machinist. And it was just that during that time, my faith became very real to me. I grew up part of the time in the church and most of the time racing, and just got called to full-time ministry. So I went to Cincinnati Bible College, as it was called back then, really to go into missions. Just had a conviction that there's places where people really don't have any real valid chance to meet Jesus in a real way. So my wife and I went to Ireland for 16 years, did church work over there before the Lord called us back. And great years of ministry, challenging over there with their makeup. Catholicism is identified as being Irish. It's a little different than what it is here. And so, but a lot of good experiences there.
That's cool. And then you mentioned that you came back and worked at a church somewhere and did that for 3 or 4 years.
So I ended up landing back in Louisville, Kentucky, just where God was leading us. Didn't know a soul that lived in Louisville, but I was just certain that's where God wanted us. And there's a church there, Northeast Christian Church, and it was pretty fun 3 years of ministry. They had a small church in the area that approached them and said, we've tried everything, we can't get this church to grow. Older congregation, 70, 75 people, that kind of thing. And so they hired me to help reset the vision, retool, bring 50 people over from the big church, revamp the whole project. So that was 3 years of a whole lot of fun ministry, and then ended up at Southeast Christian Church as their missions director for a year. And then after that, it was straight into this motocross thing and Fuel Ministry.
So we talked for a minute, and you said something along the lines of feeling like a ministry like this, you felt called or most comfortable or something working outside the church or helping the church. How'd you phrase that? Do you remember?
Yeah. I mean, I love being a pastor in the church and preaching, but I just found my sweet spot, if you like, is right outside the doors of the church. We do trackside ministry and get a lot of opportunities to preach and do prayer and just minister to people that don't have a home church. Probably 80% of them don't have a home church. And so we get that opportunity just, and again with our camps, to get the gospel to where they are. And I think, really, as we look at the church in America, right, we're pretty stagnant in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing the conversions and the baptisms at our churches that we used to see. And I think the reality is we're going to have a lot more people finding their passion for golf or knitting or whatever it is, and their passion for Jesus, and finding a way to combine those two, because we have no problem whatsoever getting unchurched people to our faith-based camps because of the training we provide for dirt bike riding.
Yeah,
we're just blowing up. We more than doubled in size this year. And so obviously there's something magical about, sharing shared interests.
Yeah, and that's another neat witness is to make it as excellent as possible. And I'm always using these dirt bike camps as an example for other leaders who are saying, well, kids just aren't coming. We're charging too much money. Camps are $80 for the week. And they're like, oh, they just parents won't pay for this stuff.
Yeah.
And they come here and it's always more because the nature of a specialized camp and using the track and whatever all the expenses
are.
Yeah, it's
$600 to $700.
Yeah, $600 to $700. And then you got all these camps are filled up. So,
yeah,
I mean,
sold out
5 weeks
in advance.
Yeah. So if people are passionate about it, it's like anything else. Parents will spend a lot of money for cleats if they want their kid to play. And
yeah.
So it's just the way it is. And so that's pretty cool. You mentioned a little bit here, and sometimes it's just fun to throw out statistics. And I know that God isn't about numbers, but he's about people. And I just like
hearing
people say what's working and putting that into some statistics. So how many camps are there and how many people about? And you said doubled. What are some of the numbers?
Yeah, so Fuel Ministry started about 6 years ago, and we started with zero camps. And this year is our sixth year, as I mentioned, and we have six camps. Last year we had three camps, so it is growing very fast. I think the biggest thing that amazes me, and it's all God, it's certainly not us, but 25 to 50% of the people that come to our camps make decisions for Christ, first-time decisions for Christ. We're three camps in, and we've had 105 first-time decisions, 57 baptisms. And, honestly, those just aren't numbers that we're seeing, unfortunately, in the churches around us and in too many other ministries. And so it's a great open door. There's a lot of faithful ministers out there in small churches that I think are going to have great places in heaven, but right now we have an open door for ministry, so we're trying to go as far as fast as we can, and as you said, reach as many as we can. We're not about the numbers, but we love life transformation, obviously.
Yeah. So all these folks here, so as far as the structure goes, basically have a bunch of volunteer leaders who are serving as huddle leaders, and then you've pulled in, or somebody's pulled in, all these sort of director-type people that serve that week maybe, but not all the weeks.
Right.
Some people are at all the camps. A bunch of people just come to that 1 week of camp and do that. So that's a lot of organization. Are you an organized guy, or are you just a visionary?
Well, the staff is myself, Hudson Taylor, and then my wife, Leslie. My wife, Leslie, is the organized person. We always say if it was left to Hudson and I, we'd have a great ministry that would burn to the ground in no time at all. But, yeah, probably my favorite's more the vision, the goals. I think it is no small miracle. Our camps require a lot more volunteers. Obviously, we have mechanics, people running water, medical staff. So even if we have a camp of 45 kids, we need 40 adult volunteers. So when we doubled in size this year, we needed an additional 120 volunteers. So this year we had almost 300 volunteers for camp, and we're in five different states with our six camps.
Yeah. What states are they? Missouri, Illinois, Indiana.
Yeah, Ohio, Pennsylvania. There's two in Indiana, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Illinois, yep, where we are right now.
That is really cool. All right, so one last couple questions here. One is, what is the big goal for you in this ministry? I know you mentioned camps are the summer, and then trackside stuff is during the year.
Yeah.
And so I know one of those goals is to reach people, but where do you see the ministry going in structure and
scope? So, again, it's pretty personal for me because when I grew up, my mom was into church. My dad didn't have anything to do with church. And so the rule in my house was if you're racing, you didn't have to go to church. If you're not racing, you know, I was one of those people that was drugged to church, as the joke goes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it almost cost me my faith. Thankfully, it didn't. My mom, I think, had a great prayer life. But, you know, I just can't imagine life without Jesus, without having a personal relationship. And so, you know, I grew up racing bikes my whole youth, 12 years. I still ride, still do a little bit of racing. So my heart just goes out to the racers, and I want them to have a personal relationship with Jesus. So we're hoping for 10 camps in 10 years. We feel like that's what God's got us on pace for. But we don't want to stop there. We don't really know, but we want to get up to 15, 16, 20. I think the ministry hopefully is going to go beyond me and my years on this earth, hopefully. But like I said, we just see so many lives changed. It's really a ministry to young men and to dads. And that's the hardest group for the church to reach.
That is really true.
And I can't imagine trying to be a teenage boy with all the things they're exposed to with media. And, you know, they're just not as connected to neighborhood friends and all that kind of thing anymore. So, yeah, and a lot of dads haven't been challenged by the church. You know, maybe, and this is not a criticism, I love the church. But, you know, maybe be an usher, maybe pass out a plate of communion or something like that, where men of faith have found there's a ministry that they're passionate about. They're passionate about racing, and it re-engages them into Jesus. So we have a very evangelistic ministry, and one of the things we're always looking at is adding more discipleship. You know, how do we help them grow after camp? And one of the things that we've taken a good look at is the three-thirds discipleship program. We just started it this spring, and so we're hoping to expand that this fall.
What is three-thirds?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask me that. No, it's interesting. So I'll just give you an example. So we have eight of our leaders in a Bible study. It's actually a discipleship group together, and one of them's in Maryland, one's in Pennsylvania, two are in Indiana, two are in Kentucky, and two are in Illinois. And of course, we're doing it over Zoom. But that's one of our challenges, is to connect people over such a distance. A nutshell, so it's three 30-minute periods of time. The last 30 minutes, each person shares three things. How do you feel like God's leading you as far as your spiritual goals for the week? Second is, who's God leading you to train or invest in? Kind of share what you've just learned. And third, is there anyone God has put on your heart to share your faith? The next week, the first 30 minutes is sharing how you did with those three goals.
Hmm.
The middle 30 minutes is really a discussion over half a chapter of the Bible. You ask questions like, is there anything that you didn't understand? Is there anything you like about the chapter? Then is there anything you learned about God in the chapter or learned about yourself, that kind of thing? And then you throw in there's 5 minutes of just silent prayer, just asking the Holy Spirit to help lead you where he wants you to go.
That's a easily described system. I mean, that's what people sometimes need and works pretty well.
What I like about it is I've done a lot of Bible studies, obviously, as a pastor over many, many years. And sometimes you challenge people, you know, hey, for a month, let's read through this book of the Bible, or let's do that, you know. And you know, sometimes they do, obviously, or whatever challenge you want to put out there. But this discipleship group is about each of us actively following Jesus, but coming together once a week to share that journey. And I think so many of us are kind of islands, especially in our ministry, walking alone, and we know we're just so much more vulnerable alone than we are in community.
Yeah. Yeah, geographical distance has been changed with COVID stuff, but it's also still a challenge. I mean, it's hard when you've got a lot of tentacles out in a lot of different places where it's hard to reach people. But I still believe that if students have a connection, a relationship, and a memory, even if it is only for a week,
Yeah.
There's a lot of power. I mean, they remember and talk about that, and God uses those times.
Right.
Sometimes almost uses them more because they never really get to know the downside of you. It's kind of like they, you know, not that we want to have an image, but yeah. They sort of get the best of that week. And it, you know, that's why speakers and worship bands and, you know, leaders kind of help make that kind of impact. But
yeah.
It's pretty cool. One other quick thing that I can just invite you to share how people can connect with you. But one thing you mentioned, and this is the guys and the dads and that aspect of faith and just the stereotypical nature of being harder to reach and all those things.
Yeah.
And this camp is mostly guys. So
yeah.
I don't know if that, I mean, I'm sure that's just the way it is in the racing world. So there's a few females here, and for the most part, a whole bunch of men and college students and kids. It's like all ages here. I think the nurse here is 76, and he still rides.
That's a little older than a normal nurse for sure, but lots of respect for him.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. I spent time talking to him. But anyway, that's just an observation. I think that's awesome to have a niche that's has a bunch of guys around. Well, as we wind down here, how can people connect with Fuel Ministry if they are a motocross or racer or interested in weekends or camps or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. You can contact us through our website, obviously, fuelministry.com. Again, that's fuelministry.com. We have a phone number on there, certainly, that can get you patched through to one of our staff. We're always looking for volunteers, especially for camp. Honestly, one of the challenges we have, our huddle leader, which is our small group leader, they have to teach 2 45-minute Bible studies per day at camp. And that's one of our struggles. You know, a lot of these guys, dads, if you like, they're believers, but have never really had a lot of time in church. They're not necessarily super knowledgeable about the Bible, or maybe they know the fair bit about the Bible, but don't really know how much to how to teach. You know, they just haven't had experience. So we can use a lot of people who just love Jesus, know how to teach, especially excited about reaching youth for our summer season. And then some people like to come to the track with us and do some ministry. So,
yeah. So fuelministry.com. And, and I should add that in earlier, the program or the flow of the day is really focused on writing.
Yeah.
But somehow eked in there is a morning testimony at breakfast and two huddle times with Bible study and a chapel with a pastor and a worship team. So I don't know when these kids sleep, but
I think it's kind of ironic because if I was a church kid and I knew how much Bible study there was in chapel, I don't know if I'd come to my own camp, but yet we got all these kids who don't know anything about church. You know, I was walking behind a guy and heard his 8-year-old boy say to a dad, you know, we give them a Bible when they sign up.
Uh-huh.
And he's, "Dad, what's a Bible?" And the dad was like, some kind of church book, son. I really don't know. So, you know, we have all these people that have less and less exposure to Jesus coming to our camp and just don't know much. And yet, you know, 2 45-minute Bible studies, an hour-long chapel, testimonies in the morning. And, you know, we really don't get a pushback. You know, I was sitting in a 45-minute Bible study last night, and the kids were all paying attention, and
that's cool.
It's a God thing for sure.
Well, Jesus is, people are attracted to Jesus.
Yes.
And
yes.
So it's good. Well, it's good to talk to you, and a big shout out to Lee for inviting me to be a part of it, and hadn't met Mark until just a couple days ago, but appreciate your heart and ministry, and you are in charge, but you are really in the background here. So that's, I don't know if you designed it that way or what, but it's pretty cool.
So. Yeah, obviously if I have to touch everything, it's never going to get real big, right? So, and as Jesus talks about the gifts of the body, we try and bring as many together and pull them all together as we can.
And your gift is being the commentator on Goofball.
Goofball. Yeah, one of the classics. I always tell people I'm the only one that's read the rule book, so they can't give me any pushback about what I decide on the microphone.
Hilarious. All right, well, blessings on you, and thanks for being a part of the podcast today.
Yeah, ditto. You too.
All right.
Hey, this is Ava Andrews, and I lead worship with Harvest Ministry. We would love to invite you to listen to some of our music on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, or wherever you like to listen. Over the years, Harvest has recorded worship music, kids worship, instrumental, and more. You can find all the various albums at harvestministryteams.com/music. Thanks.